Hi, I'm Tony Rossi, and today I'll be talking with someone who is well-known and loved by everyone who's a longtime follower of the Christophers. Father John Cator, who served as our director from the late 70s to the mid-1990s, will be joining me to talk about his life, his emphasis on joy in his ministry, and his insights on ways that you can overcome fear and doubt in your own life with God's help. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and my guest today is Father John Cator. Father Cator led the Christophers for almost 20 years, beginning in the late 1970s. And during that time, he hosted Christopher Close-Up, wrote a syndicated column, authored several books like God Delights in You, and much more. Since he left the Christophers in the mid-1990s, he's continued his media ministry through radio work and writing. Yet he always remains connected to the Christopher message of bringing light to the darkness and of encouraging people to live joyfully. I invited Father Cator on the show today so he could share his story and his lifetime of wisdom with me and with all of you. So to tell us more, I'm pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, Father John Cator. Father, it's a pleasure to have you on the show today.
Good morning, Tony. Very good to talk to you.
Now, a while back, you wrote about your journey to the Christophers in your syndicated column for Catholic News Service. So I want to start with that. How did you first become familiar with the Christophers as a young man?
As a kid in grammar school, the movies that Father Keller made in Hollywood were distributed to the schools so that we saw you can make a difference, one person can make a difference, you can change the world. And he would do little films with Hollywood movie stars, and they were the, you know, the semi-gods of the young people. So you'd see Jack Benny and Bob Hope and Bing Crosby talking with Father Keller about his mission to bring to the world a new vision that one person can make a difference.
Sure.
So
sure.
I picked it up there, and to my delight, my father, on my 18th birthday, brought me the book as a gift, You Can Change the World by Father Keller.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was a Kellerite, if you want to call, from an early age.
Well, what appealed to you then about the message in this idea of Father Keller, that one person can make a difference?
Well, it's empowering, and it's also supernatural. It gives you a sense that God put you on earth for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You have a destiny. You have a purpose.
Yeah.
You know, in that movie, Forrest Gump,
mm-hmm.
the actual concept behind the movie was Forrest Gump raises the question, do we have a destiny? Or are we just like a feather blowing in the wind?
Mm-hmm.
And his answer was, we're both, because you go from one thing to another. Life has a way of forcing you in different directions.
Yeah.
You don't even know what's coming next. But he's, at one point in his life, his sweetheart handed him his son.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, he had a mission, a purpose. And that's why he said at the very end of the picture, while the feather was floating, he said, it's both, and he put his boy on a bus
yeah.
so he could go off to school.
Yeah.
The purpose of life is clear. It's built into us. God made us to reach a supernatural destiny.
Yeah.
And that's what appealed to me.
Yeah. I'm talking to Father John Cator, the former director of the Christophers. Did that sense of purpose that Father Keller wrote about, is that what helped you decide to become a priest? Because I know you originally wanted to pursue a career in media, a secular career in media.
I did. Even as far as college, I was on the radio station at Fordham University. I didn't know what I wanted to do exactly because I didn't have any real talents. I was not interested in being an actor.
Mm-hmm.
But I got on the station and did radio work, and I thought somewhere along the line I can find a place in the media. And that was my goal, but it became, then I got drafted into the Army after college,
mm-hmm.
and I'm an MP in San Antonio in the Honor Guard, saluting officers all day long.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, what am I going to do when I get out? My
mm-hmm.
life, you know, I don't know. I don't want to work for General Motors. I had gotten a degree in economics from Fordham Business, and I just didn't see that life as appealing. And the chaplain of the Army, Fourth Army, asked me to be his chaplain because I was going to Mass and Communion every day.
Mm-hmm.
His chaplain was discharged. And suddenly I'm a chaplain's assistant, and I'm loving it, and I'm living the life. And I said, this is possible. And I decided I want to be a priest. That's what happened.
So you were already a committed Catholic before that. I mean, your faith was important to you even through your young years?
Absolutely, yeah. I went to Catholic grammar school, and I believed in the Lord, and I wanted to be holy and all of that.
Yeah.
I just didn't know how to work it out in my life.
Right, right. Well, what happened in 19, I think it was 77 or 78, that led you to cross paths with the Christophers again and combine that priestly career with the media career you had thought about it when you were younger?
Well, I was already a priest 18 years. I had been a pastor. They sent me off to get a degree in canon law. I was a doctor of canon law. I was running the marriage tribunal. My life was set.
Mm-hmm.
I had no more vision of going into show business. It was all over. That was a boyhood dream. And then suddenly I'm riding in a car with a Maryknoll priest. I don't know where we were going. And he said, did you hear the Christophers are searching for a new director? Just out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I said, well, it'll be a Maryknoll, I'm sure. And they said, no, we're going to limit our scope of mission to the foreign missions. And so they're looking for anybody who is available or interested or able to. So I said, wow. And I thought about it, but I said, oh, they'd never pick me because I had no experience in television. But I was writing a syndicated column at that point. So I was a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, I did nothing for 3 weeks. And then I got a sudden urge. And I call it a grace.
Mm.
St. Thomas Aquinas says sanctifying, or rather active grace, is an impulse to the will or a light to the mind. And about 3 weeks later, I got this impulse. Write the letter anyway. What have you got to lose? And I wrote the letter, and about 1 year later, I was the director of the Christopher.
Wow.
Amazing.
So it shows to follow up on your impulses. And were you letting, actually, initially, was it just kind of fear and self-doubt keep you from even trying?
Well, yes. I think the essence of my delay was basically they'd never pick me, and I would be like fear of being rejected. And then I thought to myself, well, what have you got to lose? So they reject you. Who knows? And I went forward, and then it were at least six interviews, and they finally picked me. So I was jubilant and also mystified. I didn't know how it happened. The next thing was to get my bishop's permission, because I was doing all this on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And the irony of it is my bishop died before I got the word, and there I am in a diocese with no bishop, and I have no right to go away anywhere.
Yeah.
But the apostolic minister who was placed in his place was made the bishop, and I had told him that this was pending.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to him the day he was made the bishop.
Uh-huh.
I said, Frank, they picked me. And he said, congratulations. That was the permission I needed. It was just done like that.
Another grace there, right? I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Father John Couture. He's the former director of the Christophers. He led the Christophers for just about 18 years. And during those 18 years, I know you interviewed a lot of people on Christopher Close Up. A lot of people listening right now probably recognize your voice from hosting this show. Did the wisdom and insight you heard from your guests affect your own spiritual life through those years? Because you talked to hundreds, maybe even thousands of people.
Well, to be exact, I did about 440 half-hour interviews over the years.
Okay.
And, yes, you know, we picked people because they would be inspirational for one reason or another. It would be an author or maybe an actor or an actress who is now involved, like, can say, refugees or working with the UN for the children and the poor and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So the inspiration that they brought, and they were well prepared when they got on television to push their cause, was to bring the inspiration of very highly skilled people, good communicators, to the world.
Yeah.
And so a lot of great authors came, and it was a constant, you know, flow of the highest values of the human spirit being expressed.
Yeah, yeah.
As you know very well, Tony, because you've been doing this for a number of years.
Yes, no, this is really one of the benefits. It's really a blessing getting able to do this show because I get to talk to interesting people for a living and learn about their lives and just put something good out there into the world. You know, there's so much negative media out there. The fact that the Christophers are always putting something positive out there, you know, I think it's a radical in a way. So it's, you know, we have you to thank for that, for upholding that legacy. So.
Well, thank you. I was honored. I thank God for the privilege.
And I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier, because you mentioned the Forrest Gump reference before. And, you know, one of the things the Christophers do is the annual Christopher Awards, where we honor books, films, and TV programs, like you said, that affirm the highest values of the human spirit. And one of the things that I appreciate about the awards, and I know you do too, is that instead of just condemning what's wrong with popular culture, which sometimes religious groups do, we're saying there are some great things about it too. In your life, how have you seen that the positive effects of popular culture, like TV, film, and books?
Well, all of us realize that there is a tremendous amount of inspiration coming from the world of movies and radio, and there's also a lot of junk. Father Keller is the one who coined the phrase, let's not carp and criticize, and let's not spend our time on negativity. Let's affirm the good things. And so we did that as a regular practice, and we gained favor in Hollywood. I mean, people would come to pick up their Christopher Award because it was rare. There was no political fighting to get it. Nobody paid anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a simple compliment coming from the Catholic community, although we didn't perceive ourselves as nearly a Catholic community. We were open to people of all faiths. And so the award became highly valued in Hollywood. It meant actually financial gain. And some of the biggest people came.
Yeah.
Steven Spielberg came. I gave him an award one night for Schindler's List,
mm-hmm.
the movie about the Holocaust. And many others, I remember them coming on the red eye to pick their Christopher Award up on an overnight trip to New York. It meant that much.
Yeah.
And when they came up again, because producers and directors are pretty much freelance,
mm-hmm.
and they sit around waiting to be called for a movie. And so when their resume is sent out, if they got a Christopher Award, it means they have a capacity to do something with dignity, and they get jobs. So it was economically valuable, and it also gave them an inspiration to aspire to the highest values of the human spirit.
Yeah, and it's good. We're always doing the Christopher Awards. We're doing they're coming up soon. We're working on them soon. And you can find out this year's award winners at Christophers.org. I'm talking to Father John Cator. He was the former director of the Christophers for almost 20 years. I want to touch on the other focus of your life, even beyond the Christophers, because you always, in your messages, in your columns, in your radio ministry, St. Jude Media Ministry, you really focus on joy. And I want to know, how did that element of our spiritual lives become so important to you?
Well, it was always there, but I remember growing up as a kid, as a Catholic boy, there was a lot of guilt and sin and hell and worry that you were in the state of grace and that, you know, you wanted to be pure and you strive for that. But there was some anxiety there and a lot of fear. And then I came up with, I had always, my sermons were always on the upbeat, positive side. I tried to encourage people and lift them up. So that was there from the beginning. But a quote from John Paul II really got me. He said, Christ came to bring joy. Joy to people, joy to students, joy to teachers, joy to parents, joy to workers, joy to the whole world, joy to the sick and elderly, he went on. And therefore, joy is the keynote message of Christianity and the recurring motif of the gospel. Go, therefore, and become messengers of joy.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. And so I immediately, and this was 1980, got a website, messengerofjoy.com, and put out positive meditations and quotes from saints and uplifting thoughts and all of that. And it's been out there since 95, messengerofjoy.com.
Right.
But I brought it into the Christophers, too. In my writings, I would accentuate the words of Jesus. He said, I have come that your joy may be full. I've come that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. And it was perfectly clear to me that fear had to be banished from our faith. Fear of guilt and fear of shame and fear of failure and fear of everything. Because Jesus said, be not afraid. And those words are repeated in the Bible 365 times from the beginning to the end.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus made it a monumental point in his Sermon on the Mount. Do not be afraid. Do not be anxious. And the point was to trust the Lord, trust in his love. And I found just reading the basics that if you didn't stress joy, there was something wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
Dorothy Day called Thanksgiving for God's love the duty of delight. We have so much going for us. God has given us so many gifts. What can you help do but be joyful and be grateful? And it changes your life.
Sure.
Takes you out of the blues.
Well, have you also witnessed the effects? Because, you know, you're in your traditional priestly work. Have you witnessed the effects that the opposite of joy can have on a person's life? How negativity can become a self-fulfilling prophecy? Have you seen that as well?
Oh, of course. And it's scientifically verified. I mean, doctors have lots of evidence to show that negative thinking will destroy your mental health. And people are sad and depressed, and they go through all kinds of things because they believe things that are harmful. Like, you know, I've done a ton of counseling in my day.
Mm-hmm.
And you ask people questions, and you listen and listen. And sometimes it comes down to this. Well, what does that say about you? And the person says, I'm not a good person.
Mm.
If I did this and this and that, I'm not a good person. Now, if you have a belief in your mind that you're not a good person, even though you're trying to do good and be good, that undermines your mental health. And it has to be rooted out. I'm a good person. And if you can't say you're a saint, you can say I'm a saint in training. I'm a good person and I'm trying to be better. There's no way that you should say you're a bad person because God made you and everything God made is good.
Yeah, yeah. Do some people have difficulty accepting the idea that God loves them and that he has a purpose for them?
Yeah, I think that's why so many people are indifferent to religion.
Mm-hmm.
They think it's preposterous. First of all, there's only 3.1% of the American population is atheist.
Okay.
That little minuscule group makes up a lot of mischief, but they certainly don't believe that we have a purpose, a divine purpose.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even believe there's a divine being. So it goes from 5% agnostics added to the 3.1, and you have people who just don't relate to God at all. Only the agnostics are more honest. They say, we don't know. That's what the word means. Agnostic, without knowledge, from the Latin.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if there's a God. And to the atheist, I say, well, when you prove it to me scientifically that God does not exist, I'll begin to consider your thoughts and thinking. But until you can, and they said, no, the burden's on you. And I said, who says the burden's on me?
Mm-hmm.
You've walked down a path that departs from the vast majority of human beings. From the beginning of time, people have always believed there's something behind, a supreme intelligence behind the universe. And they're saying to us, something comes from nothing, which is preposterous, irrational, and baseless.
Yeah.
Okay, that's enough of that.
Okay, no, I'm talking to Father John Cator. He's the former director of the Christophers. We're talking about this emphasis on joy in his ministry. His website is messengerofjoy.com. Now, some people might look at the troubles in the world around us or the challenges they're facing, and they ask, what is there to be joyful about? So what would you tell those people?
That there is a God, that he is benign, and that he loves you, and that the sooner you get the faith in that belief, you will be properly oriented. And besides that, just from the natural point of view, there's so much joy in the world, happiness. And the psychiatrists are catching up to this truth, and they're saying that happiness is a choice. So what is there to be joyful about? Well, a lot of people who don't have religion find joy and happiness. I mean, looking at a sunset, going to the zoo and looking at the beautiful animals. It's
the little things.
Nothing more beautiful in life than true love. And I think of a mother with a newborn baby on her chest, holding it in a state of sheer joy and love. This is natural joy.
Mm-hmm.
But there is supernatural joy, super added to that, when you can say along with, thank you for this baby, dear Lord. Thank you for this giving me a purpose in life. Thank you for the beautiful child I have. It brings the full scope of the transcendental truth of your life.
Yeah. Well, let me kind of follow up on that with something similar, because if somebody listening right now is struggling with those feelings of fear or doubt, or they're unable to forgive themselves, like we were talking about before, do you have any suggestion as to a first step they can take to start changing and moving forward? Is it the same as you just said, or are there other steps people can take?
Well, think about what I just said. That's the point, and it would be happiness is a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you say, I'm no good, God doesn't love me, I'll never get anywhere, I'm going to go to hell. I ran a drug and alcohol rehabilitation center after I left the Christophers. And we had guys and women, too, coming in. 90 men and 35 women lived in-house. And when they came in, some of them were caught stipulated. Some came in and on their own. But there was a mentality that had to be broken.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically a self-condemnation kind of attitude. I'm going to die with a needle in my arm. This program isn't going to help me. I've been through this before. It's all negative stuff, and it puts blocks up against the help that we can give them.
Mm-hmm.
So it may take a while to purge their stinking thinking and get them to the plane where they drop that and make a simple decision.
Yeah.
I'm going to be joyful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be okay. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to take my life back. And when they get that, they buy the 12-step programs very seriously. And the third step is, and this is the question you asked, what is the thing you have to do? To get to the third step of the 12 steps, turn my life and my will over to the God of my understanding.
Mm.
The first two steps are, came to realize that I'm helpless. I'm powerless, and I'm going to die with a needle in my arm. The second one is, but there's a power out there greater than my own. And if I turn to that power, things can turn around. And that's the beauty of it. The 12-step program is the New Testament in a synopsis.
Yeah.
So the third step is the one we give to the novices. They're not drug addicts or alcoholics, but all the religious people in the world, we say, turn your life and your will over to the God of your understanding, and he will do for you what you're not able to do for yourself. And that's a given.
Yeah, and you saw lives turn around with that point of view.
Well, we had a graduation four times a year, and we had a 65% success rate. They went on to stay sober.
Wow.
65% is quite high in that racket.
Sure.
I mean, it's no question about it. But even some good people who are quite stable and balanced will have a slip and fall back. But they realize they made it out of the dungeon, and they get a hold of themselves and come back to sobriety.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a good model for the average person who doesn't have alcoholism problems. because if they can do it, so can anyone.
Yeah, yeah. We've only got a couple of minutes left, so let me ask you this. As you well know, the Christophers use the motto, it's better to light a candle than curse the darkness. When you hit those times of darkness in your own life, how do you light that metaphorical candle in order to move toward a brighter future?
Well, to tell you the truth, I don't hit any real dark moments in life because I live in the spirit of joy. So help me God. Mm-hmm. I'm an old man. I'm 84. I'm kaput from the waist down. I've had two knee replacements. I don't want to go into all my ailments.
Okay.
Neuropathy. I don't walk too well.
Mm-hmm.
And from the neck up, I'm fantastic every other day. I forget a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I'm at a point where I could die at any time. I have a heart condition. And I'm happy as a clam. I can't tell you. I'm ready to go, and I'm going to do as much good as I can until I am taken. But in the past, when I would get into a dark mood, I would just pray to the Lord to help me and lift me out of it. And as a priest, very often, I'd go to the hospital and visit patients because we could go from bed to bed as a priest with no problem. And I would come out feeling cheerful.
Oh, okay.
So helping others is a big way to get rid of the blues.
Yeah, yeah. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I have been talking to Father John Couture. Father Couture led the Christophers for almost 20 years, and he did such a wonderful job on this show. He did a wonderful job in his columns, and he's still doing a wonderful job spreading those messages of joy that we talked about today. He may be 84, and he's talking about he could go at any minute, but I'm sure we're all hoping and praying that you stick around for a long time, Father, and keep sharing those messages with the world, all around the world, because we desperately need messages of joy today, because there's a lot of darkness out there and we need to counter it with the light of stories like yours and witnesses like yours. So thanks for being on the show, and thanks for everything you do, Father.
Thank you, Tony. It's been great.
Now, before we end today's show, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
Throughout Scripture, we hear that God is kind and merciful, and we see in the stories of the gospel what that mercy looks like as Jesus unpacks it for us via parables and practice. But how can we live out the concept of mercy in our world today? To answer that question, the Christophers have prepared a news note called Blessed Are the Merciful. It highlights the kindness, forgiveness, and love that result from practicing mercy and offers suggestions on ways we can integrate mercy into our lives. To request your free copy of Blessed Are the Merciful, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog on our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.